Mike, turn your games down.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to another movie episode of Games My Mom Found. I am Mike Overton, and who's sad and drinking at a bar for only for a scene, and they're okay after that with me tonight.
I'm Joe Butler, and even though I'm an arms dealer, I sure hope nothing bad happens to me on my special day.
And this is Blair Farrell from comicbookvideogames.com. And remember, if you see a necrotic child, let them sink their teeth into your hand.
We are here to talk about Resident Evil Vendetta, the third animated film directed by it's directed by Tomori Tatsumoto. It came out in 2017, Japan. It is the third animated movie in the series Resident Evil. That actually is canon to the series, takes place after Resident Evil 6, but before Resident Evil 7.
When they still thought what they wanted to do with the series.
I don't understand what that means.
I like the 7's obviously not a sequel to this, so I'm kind of glad that we got, but I'm really glad we got 7. I love 7.
Oh, because 7 was kind of like a soft reboot almost, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I'm fine. I mean, this is just another adventure in the world of Resident Evil and shows you how fucked up this world is. But the plot of this movie is essentially, Chris is part of the BSAA still. He was sent on a mission to go get somebody, to go get these two people at an arms deal, from an arms dealer. Shit happens. Lyris gets out. Has to team up with Leon for absolutely no reason. Rebecca's back. And we're going to be in New York at some point in this movie.
Leon's sad because the movie starts off with him like at a morgue, like talking about like people who've died.
Yeah. It has to do with something that isn't in this movie or in the game, like I thought it was. It's something to do with DC. There was an outbreak, and he failed his team. I thought it had something maybe to do with the game, like in 6, but it isn't. It's based on something else that didn't happen in here. It's kind of weird, because the movie opens up with him shooting body bags that start moving, and it's because he had, you find out later, it's like some DC mission that he was part of that the bomb went off. So in this world, there's bombs everywhere. People are just using BOWs a lot. This is a really shitty world to live in, by the way.
Yeah.
Well, it's one of the big problems of the Resident Evil universe is that it takes place in real time. So this isn't like the 2010s. So Leon should be in like his 40s and Chris Redfield should be in like his late 40s, early 50s. And they both can move like they're in their late 20s. And, you know, because we love these characters, we want to see them again and again. But seeing them again and again means they have the absolute shittiest lives possible. It's like their entire life is just fighting these monsters over and over again. There's never an end game. It's just like a never-ending cycle of, like, war.
Yeah, I didn't think about that, but you are 100% right.
Yeah, and they really messed up on, like, having, as much as I hate to admit it, I really wish we hadn't gotten the remakes yet, and we had gotten, like, maybe 9, and then, like, had, like, a really big soft reboot. Because I'm not going to lie, we're talking about it a little bit before the podcast. I've talked about it to my partner, too. They really kind of, like, blew the hammer killing Umbrella on Resident Evil 3. Like, they really should have waited till, like, maybe 5 or 6 to kill off Umbrella.
Yeah, that's fair.
See, I just wish, like, I really feel like they need to go back and make, I know, like, the railgun shooter has like the fall of Umbrella in it, but like they really needed just that closure, because I understand why they did in Resident Evil 4, because the fixed camera angle inventory management Resident Evil had run its course. They weren't building any new fans. There's people like love or hated tank controls, like games were evolving, so they're like, cool, here's this new hard reboot, here's this new threat, which I actually like, because, you know, by the time Resident Evil 0 rolled around, every game was, they go to a place, there's an outbreak, you fight a boss, it turns into a bigger goopy boss, there's a self-destruct sequence, and you escape. Mm-hmm. Like, you know the life cycle of, like, the zombies and the monsters. But then you get Resident Evil 4, which people say is not scary, and I disagree. It's not scary because you've played it a million times, but the first time you play that, and you don't know what you're doing or what is happening, there's panic again. And you needed kind of that push. But I think, like, the bad guy of, like, Albert Wesker is something that's, like, has been missing. Because, yeah, like, he's the guy who basically screwed up the lives of these entire people. Like, Chris was just a regular-ass cop. Leon was going to just be a cop, too. And, like, Claire was just living her life, but then they all got thrust into this thing, really because of the machinations of him and Spencer. And since then, they've kind of struggled to have, like, a main villain. Like, especially in these movies where it's like, here's a guy.
And a suit.
Yeah, but this one I was more okay with. I also felt that this movie had a lot of world building that we wouldn't see normally. And I strangely really appreciated it way more than I thought I would.
Yeah, this movie has a lot of good ideas. And it also embraces like the wackiness of the Resident Evil series. Because that's the other thing that I love about maybe this and Death Island and technically the live action movies is that it's just like you've got people who know what they're doing. So Chris has been doing this for years. Leon's been doing this for years. And even they even do that in like Death Island because they bring back all the original like characters. And they're just I think we talk about the other movies, like the people who survived Resident Evil. Like, I want a conversation of normal people just calling them freaks because like the things that these guys do, normal people don't do.
I mean, and I also like the people in this world are fucking stupid, but yeah. I don't know. I really appreciated that we weren't in a like, because normally Resident Evil. Okay, I don't remember 6 at all. So this is six is like a world spanning adventure, right?
Yeah, it goes over like 3 areas, and then the main villain, it works for the government, and he's trying to make Neo Umbrella, and then he turns into a big T-Rex.
Okay, I really want to play 6 again for this show. The joke was in the episode 0 that we did for this podcast and we tested out with people that I don't talk to anymore, unfortunately. When we did that, we talked about Resident Evil 6. We're like, oh, we got to do the show someday. And it's been 5 years, still have yet to get there. But it's always been my joke to me, like, I really want to replay that game. But no, I was just thinking like this, because in the Resident Evil world, at least what I can remember, which is 5 and before, you don't really have a whole, I mean, you, I guess 5, you're in Africa and you do have some world spanning, but I really appreciate that this did a lot of world building into the series. Like, you see New York, you see them talk about how these attacks are happening all over the world. Like, just a lot of really interesting things that I really appreciated. Like, I actually enjoyed this movie a lot. I would actually have watched it a second time had I been able to stream it. I wasn't watching this from a Blu-ray. But in order to stream it, I have to rent or buy it. I cannot stream it free or, you know, with any of my anything that I own. So I was like, eh.
I have one really goofy, small issue with the movie, and okay. It's with the opening, which I hope y'all kind of agree with me, where it's like, so the movie starts off with, besides Leon crying about that, his friends, that his people he kind of knew died, you have Chris, who I guess they just hired BSAA agents to come assist them on, like, bioterror, what they think might be bioterrorism, and it's like a thing where it's like they walk in and it's like, oh, hey, remember the Spencer Mansion? This is a mansion. Looks exactly like the Spencer Mansion. There's 2 columns and the big stairs in the middle. Do y'all remember the Spencer Mansion?
Never heard of it.
Spencer Mansion is the mansion from but like it's like everything, like the DLC for RE5, like the end of Code Veronica. Like, it's, remember the mansion?
I love that. See, I love that they did that throwback. Okay, when they go to the house, I'm like, is that the house? Because at first I wasn't paying enough attention. I watched this movie part of the first part twice, and I didn't see they're in Mexico. I'm like, are they in the Spencer Mansion? And then I'm like, oh, they're in Mexico. I'm like, okay, but I'm like, it is so cool that it's like kind of like, I was like, okay, are they gonna go in some of the rooms? Like, they're gonna go in the room and there's gonna be that long table on the first floor, and then there's gonna be one. They see the plate. There'll be one plate with food, like in the first Resident Evil game. And is there going to be a clock? Someone go, is that Chris's blood? Like, come on, come on. I was like, I was actually on board with this. I'm like, this is really cool. So I'm not. The member berries work for me.
It's fine if it's supposed to be. Like, I liked it in Code Veronica because it's like, oh, it's a Spencer mansion because they're Spencer's kids. So, of course, it's a one for one for the mansion.
They're kids.
Or, you know what I mean? But they're like this family. I prefer it more when it's like supposed to be like on purpose as opposed to like, oh, it's a homage for some dumb reason.
Yeah, it's not. It makes it feel like, hello, do you want to build a mansion? Come to my store. At my store, we sell the same mansion floor plans, just $19.95 plus shipping and handling. You can have a mansion where the stairs go this way and the columns this way. Don't like associated with the murders that happened in the woods. Our mansion was free of bioterror monsters.
See,
I still liked it.
You say that, Blair, but there's a very specifically a note in RE7 that says the guy that did the traps for the Spencer Mansion made the house for the family in RE7.
Yeah, it's like George Trevor Construction or something. I remember finding that note.
What the hell?
Like that, yeah.
Okay. I really want to play 7 again, to be honest with you.
7 is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Vaguely, what I remember, too, it's been a very long time since I played 7, but it's a game that I do want to redo. I want to do for the show. We're getting there. We're slowly getting there. So as I get through all of them.
Another comedic note. So they go in the house, right? How many fucking people can fit underneath that bed?
Because
they meet that kid. It's always such a goofy horror thing because they take Chris as an advisor, but they, like y'all said earlier, they see this kid covered in fucking blood and like they don't go, huh? And like just immediately light him up. So Chris comes in and checks underneath the bed and like 8 people come out from underneath that bed.
Yeah, it's because I'm trying to, because I know in the first animated film, Degeneration, boy, I also cannot say that name without thinking of the DX wrestling group, and I'm going to be singing a theme song in my head, but I don't know how much is debriefed to the world about bioterror, because I know in that one it annoyed me, because there's a character voiced by Steve Bloom in the dub. And he sees a person and he shoots them and he's like, oh, man, I shot him like 20 times and he got up. It's like, of course, because they're zombies. Like, all of this is out there. But I know, like, in Resident Evil 6, I think, like, the president gets attacked because he's going to tell the world about Umbrella. And, like, what happened to Raccoon City because it was a covered up for all this time. But they had the trials and these things were everywhere. And, like, you have Chris Redfield, who's there. Actually, I think the reason is, like, there's an undercover agent in this guy's operation. He's there to get them out, is why he's there. It's like, okay, if you see people and they're not responding, shoot to kill immediately. Like, don't, like, ask them how they're doing or how your day is. It's like, no, just, like, open fire.
Yeah, that did bother me because, like, I can buy it that the everyday person doesn't know about some of the shit that happens in this world. I can buy that. I cannot buy it that a trained soldier sent on a mission is unaware that when you see this kid covered in blood, that you put your gun. It's not even the fact that he just goes, oh, he puts his gun down. And you think they would at least be like, hey, wait a second. Like, why is he, you know, come on, you need to respond. Like, something. Before they shoot, like, as soon as you see that face and his mouth open, that trigger should just be pulled. Like, there should be no questioning it. And, yeah, they don't. So there was some weird shit with that for me where I'm like, you guys are stupid as fuck. But fine, I mean, whatever. But, yeah, no, I was with you. I mean, it was just so stupid. And then, you do get that cool scene when you see how fast this virus infects. I was impressed by that. Like, they are infected within seconds. I'm like, that's not normal for Resident Evil.
And I think. What is, it's so weird about all of these is they always have to invent some type of new virus. And like, even I'm glad they kind of explain afterwards is when I hadn't watched this in a while. And I was like, don't these people are they up to date on their shots? Like, why shouldn't they all have like vaccines? But then it's like this new strain, like the animality virus or a virus, which, guys, come on, you're stealing this Mortal Kombat animalities when you turn into a thing. And Rebecca is talking about how like they haven't got one for this particular strain.
Okay, that's fair.
Mm-hmm. There's also a little bit of other stuff too. Like, I think one thing that it is kind of a good point that shows like it catches Chris off guard because the zombies can also talk. And I'm pretty sure another thing, too, is they also probably caught him off guard that, like, that guy literally transformed in front of his eyes. But at this point, you would think that most Resident Evil characters would be like, all right, you're bringing me with this mission. All right, I brought this PowerPoint. If the person does not respond to you, shoot to kill. If they are covered in blood, shoot to kill. If something with a brain and big fingers and a long tongue pops out, shoot to kill.
Yeah, shoot to kill. That was my one issue, is that these guys are that, like, they have Chris on the team, yet he doesn't, like, they didn't seem like they were briefed very well.
And it's what sucks is these are basically, like, sci-fi action movies, and they're not horror movies, because, you know, it's kind of like my problem with, say, something like the Alien franchise, where it's, I know the life cycle of this creature, I know how it all works, And that's the same thing with this universe. And these guys know how it works. The audience knows how these bioweapons works, which is why, like, you know, this was the lead up to Seven, where you had just like, say what you will about Ethan Winters. You have a regular ass guy again who has no idea what's going on. And there's like a new threat and we don't know what's going on. And it's scary again. And this is just, okay, here's zombies again. You know, here's a bunch of trained soldiers who should know better, but they're all just going to get annihilated.
That is fair, but at least it was amusing.
Yeah.
No, I agree with you on all your points. Like, that did bother me a little bit that these trained soldiers didn't know anything. That did rub me the wrong way. I won't lie on that one at all.
I do kind of like that, like, they're also not progressively, because I think it was the same thing in the last movie. They're slowly getting away from the main person having, like, Wesker powers, because I think you mentioned it earlier, Mike, where it's like, oh, the guy must be like, but like, I don't think he does. And same thing, like, in the last movie, like, what is it, like the Russian prime minister or whoever the big villain was, the woman,
also the Russian, or not Russian, but Eastern European prime minister. Yes.
Yeah. She also didn't have powers. She was just kind of good at her job.
She was a special forces and she could fucking fight. I mean, and hey, you know what? I'm all for it. If you just want sexy women that can just fucking hold their own, I am all for that. Like, yeah, no problem there. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, there's another, you have that blonde that is like undead-ish, I was thinking, but maybe she didn't die either in the freaking. So the idea of the arms dealer guy that they end up going after, they find out early in this movie when they go to the fake mansion, he ends up there after the whole team gets wiped out. He does a little fight with Chris and takes his gun, and I thought with Wesker, but just really well skilled, and unarms him, shoots him in the back, whatever, leaves him for dead. But you find out later, like, his backstory, that he was at his wedding, and then they drop bombs on him, some government did, to kill him, but somehow kill everybody but him. And I thought, oh, he has power. No, he just, as Joe said, which Joe was right, karma, bitch. Apparently, that's all it was. He just somehow survived. You know, his wife, he's holding her arm. She blew up completely, but he's fine. Well, whatever.
And that's why he is an arms dealer.
You know, there are moments like this when I wish I had a soundboard set up for this podcast. Those are those moments.
You would abuse that, though. You know you would.
I know I would. This doesn't really funny.
I also think it's funny too, because I watched like the beginning of this with my partner. We started it the day before, like on Thursday, and we watched like the opening, and then we had to go to bed, and I finished this last night by myself. But he made a point, which I brought up in the chat too, where it was like, you're an arms dealer. How many people did you invite to your wedding, and did you think it was a good idea? Because there's like at least a low key chance that someone told someone where you were going to be, and they were going to bomb the shit out of your wedding, especially if you're already an arms dealer.
People are stupid. There's my answer. I mean, hey, people are stupid. I can buy it. I'll take it. Especially people with power and money. I can see it as he just wasn't, you know, like, oh, all these people are loyal to me. Sure they are. Someone got offered money and not realizing, hey, you're going to be part of that bomb too, buddy.
Mm-hmm. But definitely such a big part in the story. Have your wedding indoors.
I mean, that would make sense, yes. He did not.
We also don't get a good look at his wife for reasons that we will find out later.
I like that plot point in this movie, actually. As dumb as it is, I was 100% okay with this plot point.
So we get into something that I'm going to go off on a tangent for, and I super apologize about it in advance. So we're reintroduced to a character that Shinji Mikami himself absolutely fucking hates, apparently. And it's the reason why she hasn't been in a Resident Evil game since Zero. Rebecca's back. Yay, everybody clap.
I was happy to see Rebecca again. I mean, I knew she was in this movie, obviously.
Yeah. And I'm also like, how do they use Rebecca? I'm like, wasn't Rebecca 18 when she was in Stars? And I actually Googled it, and I was right, and I completely forgot about it. Rebecca's like some kind of child prodigy that got her like bachelor's degree at like 18. And they literally went, hey, you be a good match for Stars. You want to join our weird special forces team? And she did. So that's why Rebecca's still young. But there's a guy that leaks Capcom info, and he's usually 75% right. He's the guy that leaked Devil May Cry 5 like 10 years before it came out. And that's when people started bugging Ruben Lagnin, the guy that voices Virgil, about it. And he's like, I'm not going to be in Devil May Cry 5. And it got to a point to where he's like, look, I may be in it, I may not, but if they don't fucking release that game soon, I'm going to start telling people about it. And then he's the same guy who, whenever the leaks for RE8 came out, he's like, oh yeah, there's going to be werewolves and vampires and all this other stuff. And people are like, sure, buddy. And then it ended up coming true. We're supposed to get a game that's called Resident Evil Outbreak. And that's what the code for it is. And it's supposed to be that Rebecca's the main character. And it's supposed to be a Switch exclusive. And it's been like on like the fucking floor for like years. And people think that either the Switch can't run it, and that's why it hasn't come out yet, and that it's also supposed to be Outbreak's a code name for it, and it's supposed to be Revelations 3, but at some point we're getting another Rebecca game, because I think he also said Revelations 2 is going to be about Barry, and that ended up becoming true too.
Hey, I'll take more Rebecca. I won't complain with that.
Yeah, same here.
I mean, I was so happy. I mean, I knew she's back in this, because this movie came out in 2017, we're watching this in 2024, but I was excited. Like, we haven't seen Rebecca since Resident Evil 1 and then 0, which takes place before 1, so like she hasn't been in anything canon for a very long time.
Surprisingly enough, that's also not true as well. Apparently there's like a stage play, Resident Evil stage play, that has her, Chris, and then Pierce from RE6, where apparently they save her at her college. So yeah, I guess Japan gets more shit than we do.
You know what the worst part is? I actually know what you're talking about.
Really?
A long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, early in this podcast, Stu, one of my original founders of the show, he had talked about it because he was a big RE fan. We had actually had a conversation about that play, and you can find it on YouTube at one point. It was on YouTube, and we were talked about covering it. So, yeah, I know of it.
I should Google.
Forgot it existed, but I know of it. So thank you for re-jogging an old memory. That was a strange memory you pulled out of my head, by the way, Joe. Did not expect to hear that ever come back.
I think when I was watching it, I went to look it up to see if, you know, there's some type of canon event about what Rebecca's been doing all this time. But then she just kind of, you know, there's an exposition dump when they're traveling where she says, I left the Force just to help people, you know, with my science. And even now, I just going over the math to see when this movie's set. So this movie's set in 2014. The first one's set in 1996, and Rebecca's 18, so in this one she should be 36 years old, but she still looks like a teenager.
I'll take early 30s. She could go past early 30s. She's looking more 20s, but she could pass. I'll take it. I'm just happy we got Rebecca back, so, you know.
Guess what I found, and it's 2 hours long enough for a movie.
You found the play?
I found the play.
Okay, well, if you can find at least one sucker that wants to talk about it, which you might have already found. But that's not what. Oh god, where was I? Okay, I also want to say I really enjoy the fact that Rebecca works at a university, and she's in charge of like making vaccines for antiviruses. I like that. I was watching a review where they complained like, oh, she can't handle stuff against a zombie. Ugh, she doesn't know what she's doing. Like, you know what? There's one. I mean, she's been drugged by a new virus. She vaccinates herself. She takes out a zombie with scissors. She doesn't have a gun. So cut her some slack, people. Like, you can't expect this woman to be like, oh, she's going to, you know, take all these people out. Like, she doesn't have a gun.
I mean, she was also a rookie cop in Resident Evil 1.
Yeah.
And then she didn't keep up with her training. Like, she didn't become a Krav Maga expert like Chris and Leon. Like, she just went and became a doctor. She didn't keep up. You know, she might have done some weekend handgun training, but she's not a soldier.
Yeah, and that's what irritated me. Like, how do people not get that? Like, it's fine. Like, you know, she went and studied medical, but she still takes out a zombie with scissors. And these are pretty good zombies. These are not like your normal, you know, walk slowly and murder you. These guys can move.
Someone missed the dialogue. That person you're talking about, not us. They missed the dialogue where Rebecca very specifically tells Chris's weird military friends, hey, Chris, they're like, why? They even ask her, why didn't you stay like with BSAA and why don't you help out in the field? And she literally says, people have different way of doing things. Chris likes to kill zombies and that's how he helps. I want to try to find a way to cure people to keep this from spreading. So, I mean, she has a point and it's a really good point.
Well, that is. I like the fact that that's what she's doing. I thought that was a really cool, you know, thing to put in here, that she's just trying to cure the virus and, you know, these viruses keep popping up. And like the whole like plot with this is this guy, you know, ended up poisoning the Great Lake. So a lot of these water bottles that people are drinking from are, you know, have a latent version of the virus. I thought that was a cool concept. as a guy who's drinking a water bottle right now, purified drinking water, I'm like, yeah, it would work. I'd be infected too. That's what I was thinking. You know, yeah, it's a cool concept. And it makes sense in this world where, you know, once you pop open that bottle of the fact that there are, you know, viruses and things like that, it's not going to stop just because one corporation went out of business. Like, that ain't going to change anything. Once you know, that's something that never going to stop. And I believe that completely.
Plus, like, I think other games have established, like, only, like, it wasn't even, was the main Umbrella facility in Raccoon City?
I don't know if it's the main one, but it's just one of them. It's just one that Birkin worked at.
Yeah, that's what I mean. They never, I don't think they ever specifically say it's the main one, and they've always talked about how there were, like, tons of other branches. So just because Raccoon City blew up doesn't mean, like was it, like, the European branch exists, and then, like, there's probably, like, two more in America somewhere, and then later on we found out, like, in, like, the light gun games, they have, like, islands spread out through the ocean and shit, too.
And Wesker stole the combat data from the mansion and probably sold it on the black market, so there's probably, like, weird variations just produced by, like, terrorist cells like that. Like, they don't sell missiles in this universe, they sell goopy monsters.
That's a quotable reference right there. But we don't, you know, we see it in Resident Evil Revelations 1, where, you know, you have that underwater city, or not underwater, but you had that one city and all the shit happens there. Like, this is just the world this world they live in, and I'm for it. So, you know, I won't complain.
I also have the movie playing on the side. I also think it's actually kind of creepy and terrifying of, like, Rebecca trying to make it to cure herself, like, before she turns. And she, like, legit has, like, a mini stroke before she, like, comes to.
Are you talking about the early part when she first gets infected twice? Yeah, no, I agree with that. Like, no, she didn't. That's what when I was watching the stupid or the video, which I appreciate. Sir, you made a video. I didn't like the fact that you insulted my girl, but, you know, all right. Like, no, and she did good. Like, you know, she just seen everyone else she knows just get killed. All her coworkers just got murdered. The guy hitting on her got murdered. Like, she's not gonna be okay. Like, this, you know, and she handled herself good for that. In that situation, cut her some slack. No, she yeah. And then one of the complaints in the thing that I also didn't agree with, but it's a point to bring up, was the fact that in this world you have her. One of the things that happens to her is, well, you have, like, oh, she makes a vaccine so quickly. I'm like, you know what? They can. I'm pretty sure in real life we can make vaccines quicker than people think we can.
Well, they said in the movie too that they know it's been happening because they're watching footage. So they've been working on it for a while. But they also say later in the movie, the guy's like, oh, you got the cure right, but you didn't get the thing where the zombies can't detect you or something. So technically, she kind of just made a bullshit cure. It's still a cure, but
it doesn't affect, like, because in the first part of the movie, in the mansion that upset Joe, you see where he's able to, the arm dealer shows, like, hey, these monsters will work for me and will only attack people that I want them to attack, which, again, fucking great bioweapon. You want to sell, like, hey, we don't give a shit about all these people who are living in the city, except for our guys. They won't target your guys. They'll eat everyone else. Great fucking weapon right there. I mean, that, like, you solve the problem.
But wasn't that in the last one where the guy had the thing where you can control liquors and tell them they were, like, attack dogs?
Yes, but also at the same time he was infected and he was dying. So remember, you get infected anyway. This was a case where you didn't turn into a creature at the end of it. In that one, you sacrifice yourself to control them, but eventually you would die. You would die sooner than later.
That's what the nemesis was too, right? I mean, the nemesis was programmed to take out Stars people.
Yes.
Yeah, they retcon that to where it's a parasite controlling nemesis, right?
Yes, pretty sure.
Also,
I have another complaint, or not complaint, but I have a thing that I want to bring up. Like, in this movie, the whole reason they go to get Leon is because of the Lost Illuminados, which I got all excited. I'm like, oh, is it got something to do with them? So that's when they go get Leon, and I'm watching this movie, I'm like, this has nothing to do with Lost Illuminados. There's no Salazar, nothing. This guy wasn't part of that group, didn't work with them, didn't get the... I'm like, Leon doesn't need to be here. I mean, I'm fine. I enjoyed Leon in this, I'm not going to lie. But I was just like, you guys tricked me. Like, I wanted there to be some kind of connection to 4, and I would have been even more excited.
Well, I think, like, the Lost Illuminatus cult... Well, sorry, Lost Illuminatus cult just wasn't that cell that took place in Resident Evil 4. They have, like, I guess, splinter factions all over the world. And then this guy was, like, a low-level enforcer, and I think... But they mentioned, one of the reasons why they can program it is because they use some of the DNA from the Las Plagas parasite and mix it with the virus.
I'll take it.
People in the comments can correct me, but I think they say something like that.
You're probably right.
I'll take it. That makes sense. So I'll take it. I won't disagree with it.
Did y'all like the Breaking Bad reference that dates this movie? I didn't like the Breaking Bad reference that dates this movie.
I laughed my ass off. Like, I literally just started laughing when that scene came on, when they did that. Like, I am fine with that. I mean, you know, I don't really date it. Breaking Bad is a good show, and it's still... you can still say it to somebody. If I went out and I said it to somebody, there's a chance I could have other people like, yeah, you're right, the show's really damn good. Like, so I'll take it. But you are right, it does date it.
I mean, it's less dated than that other character in the last one who kept saying bro and how he had all his bootleg American action movie DVDs.
I fucking hated that guy.
I will give you that one, Blair, because that guy was actually super. Didn't he say something about like Die Hard or something like that? I don't know.
He just had been like, oh, I've seen every American action movie and no bootlegs or all officials, bro.
Hey, that dated itself too, because he was talking about physical media. So date yourself right there. But someone just got very upset with me for that joke. But that's where we're headed, buddy. We're there. So, I mean, no. In this movie, those characters weren't stupid. I enjoyed the special forces guys that are part of Chris. Why he only has a 3-man squad when you're dealing with freaking New York City is being just attacked and we'll send 5 guys. But hey, whatever. You know, I'll take it. You know, that didn't bother me. But, oh, they're coming. They're just running behind. And they're like, oh, there's people down on there. You just don't see them because it's a big city. Completely okay with that. My only complaint was when they're in New York City, Leon and Chris have to take out the first tanker, lose a guy. And then after that, like, yeah, just take the ship and just shoot them down with a plane. I'm like, that makes way more sense, buddy. Like, why are you guys literally having a guy drive by and throwing grenades at freaking tankers? Like, you have a plane. Shoot.
Oh, we missed a huge chunk of story. Real quick. But I do think it's funny because when I first watched this, because I think when I watched this back in the day, I pirated it. But I think it's really weird that they switched, because this came out after 6, and I think it's weird they switched Leon and Chris's like personalities, because now Leon's a drunk and Chris is like the Boy Scout, as opposed in 6 where Leon's the Boy Scout and Chris is drunk and upset because his boyfriend died, or his teammates died. Pierce dies at the end. I forgot. My bad. But
it's been a while. God, I need to replay 6.
You really don't.
I liked it.
You know, it's like iconic monsters from the series. You know, your lickers, your infected dogs, Plant 42. None of them hold a candle to mutated Derek.
Hey, I'm still excited to replay 6 when we finally get there, when I run out of the Resident Evils to put on the show. So you probably, depending on the rate I'm going, you got a couple years.
Who's your favorite?
I don't know. That's a series that I thought we would have covered a lot faster, but then as the host changed on this podcast, I haven't kept up with it because I don't want to. So, you know, that's a problem.
So what one's next? We did Code Veronica and we did 3 make.
We got Revelations 2, we got 0, Outbreak 2, which I don't see myself doing. Then technically 5. 5 is coming up. So 0, 5, Revelations 2 are the main ones of the stuff that I would do. So
And 8. Don't forget 8.
Well, yeah, but I have to do 5, then do 6, then do 7, then do 8. So I'm getting there. It's going to happen. I just dragging my feet. That's one reason we're doing this, because timing just lined up where I didn't have any plans. And I'm like, let's just get this shit over with so I can put the Blu-ray away. But I have a Blu-ray 3-pack of this I bought years ago, and I've been trying to get through these movies. And I purposely left it out in front of my TV in my living room so it would always be there looking at me like, you need to watch this, you need to cover it. But
I think this movie has a lot of like plot holes it does, or like plot points it doesn't wrap up or doesn't explain. Because we were talking about how like the Los Illuminados doesn't really go anywhere in this. But there's also like a storyline where the guy's like, Leon, you have to help my family. And I think Leon answers the phone and then doesn't give a shit.
He doesn't respond. Like, yeah, he answered the phone. She's like, husband, are you there? Husband. And you hear the little kid in the background. Let me talk to daddy. And I'm just like, okay. Well, this is when they go to the bar in Spain after they meet up with Rebecca and the thing happens at the university. And they go to recruit Leon. And when they go to recruit Leon, some random guy who was, I guess, an escapee of the Los Illuminados cult, and one of them comes to him with a memory card or his phone. He has information about them.
I think he was an informant for Leon who screwed him over, and he was the reason why the attack in DC took place, and then he was like, you have to save my family. And then Leon says something to the effect of, well, the last time I worked with you, you nearly got me killed and got all my friends killed, and now I'm supposed to help you with your family. And basically does the Spider-Man and miss the part where that's my problem. But then I think he snapped out of it when he hears like his kids and his wife and, you know, why he's doing this and the like the human cost of like the bioterror war.
OK, that's fair. That you made me appreciate it more. OK. And then like and plus maybe seeing Rebecca get captured, too, because when they're there. So that was another thing when that guy when that. Okay, I might be the only one. When I saw that big behemoth guy with the mask on and like the holding the big chain gun and all the metal on his back, for some reason, I'm the only person out there, I thought of the guy, a guy from Dirge of Cerberus. I don't know why I thought of the purple guy from Dirge of Cerberus, but I did.
That's fair.
Gave me more vibes of the Slaughterhouse or the Splatterhouse remake.
Never played it. I own it for 360, but never played it.
No. He reminded me of I know Mike did. Have you ever like actually like physically played Six?
What was the question?
Have you played Six?
A long time ago. You mean like Final Fantasy Six?
Or no. RE6? Yeah, RE6.
Yeah, long time ago. Before this, over 10 years.
Blair.
Yeah, it's the kind of chaser that's chasing after Jake and Sherry of a goose tank or something.
Yeah, the Usanagi or something like that. Something goofy. Yeah, that's what it reminded me of. I'm like, oh, they just stole this from Six again.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Okay, I'm okay with that. I forgot what you're talking about. Man, Six, and I looked it up. Yeah, Six was, I played it in probably 2012 or 2013. Or no, did it come out late 2012? I played in early 2013. I remember I got that game pretty quickly because I was really excited for it.
That's okay, I was too. I went to the midnight release for it.
Oh, I didn't pay full price. I paid like $20 on a GameFly sale, so I was happy.
I was day one for all Resident Evil games, and I played the demo for Six, and I never played it until it was $5 used at EB Games.
I really want to replay Six so bad, but I can't do it till I do Five. I don't really want to do Five, so but that's anyway.
Five. The only thing I'll give Six over Five is that Six is a lot easier to play single player than Five.
Yeah, yep. That's my complaint.
Like, Five is near damn impossible to play by yourself at certain points.
It's a good thing I have a husband who likes Resident Evil and likes to play as Sheva.
I mean, I have a wife, but she wouldn't play if I put it in front of her. I can tell you that much. She don't like shooters in the first place, so. Yeah, that's one reason why I haven't done it, because I don't, I mean, I talked about it back when my other co-host was on the show. We were talking about doing Five because we were going to play it co-op, but I'm just like, that's my issue. I have to play it co-op, and I don't know if I'm going to be able to, because my gaming schedule is very out there the way I play games, and it's very hit and miss, like when I have time. That's why I haven't done it yet.
Can we get into the point or the plot point about why Rebecca gets kidnapped by Glenn Arias?
He's Glenn Arias.
Well, here, what I thought was because since she was able to develop a antivirus, he's like, hey, I want her because she can stop me. That's what I thought. And I'm like, that makes sense. Blair, why don't you tell me the real reason the movie did it?
So I really wanted to get into this because I hadn't watched this in a while, and I knew it was... He wanted Rebecca because he looked like his dead wife. And yes. I was hoping, even though I knew it wasn't the case, but I couldn't remember because I haven't seen this. I actually saw this in theater.
Lucky.
Yeah, there was like three other people. I was actually shocked that it came to where so in lucky. My neck of the woods.
I'm with Joe.
I was hoping, nay praying, for a Sons of Liberty thing. Where he had to cut off her arm to put on his wife's arm so her wife could take her over.
Hey, he was getting there. He wanted to cut off her arm, but in some other reason he decided to infect her. But hey, you know, whatever.
I love the look on her face, especially because, like, she's looking around and there's, like, his family is, like, zombified and locked up in chest. I'm assuming in pieces. Because they're not like full body chests. They're like the size of like your basic Foot Locker.
Well, they also were bombed. So maybe he doesn't have only so many pieces.
I think it's funny because the whole situation happens and he's like, I'll take her arm and attach it to you and then you'll love me. And she has this look of like, oh, you're batshit crazy.
Yeah, that is the right way to look. Okay.
And the two heavies. like the not Jill Valentine and the not Resident Evil 6 monster, like those were wedding guests or something? So, or like family members?
So here's the weird part is that it also gets really weird because there's a picture and the guy with the face mask is his best man. But in the picture, it's his wife, but the woman's not the same woman. So we don't know where she came from.
Which woman?
The woman that the Jill knockoff.
The not Jill Valentine.
The Jill knockoff, I guess, is his sister.
Probably.
No, there's a comment in this movie that, or I didn't realize it, or I was reading something somewhere, or maybe the YouTube, but it's because there's a comment of that big hunky, no, in the movie she says that big hunky thing is father, she calls him father, and it turned out that's also the arms dealer's father, so it makes him her sister.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
So not Resident Evil 6 monster, his name is Diego, and not Jill Valentine's name is Maria. And their Maria, father and daughter Maria. And close friends of Arius, according to the Wikipedia article, which I just have up because I just need to get some general plot points. And what's funny is that, I mean, minor spoilers for Death Island, they bring back that Maria character for some, like, she wants revenge for the Glenn Arius incident. So she teams up with, like, the dumb bad guy in that one. But
that's
she's
cool.
Just there.
Yeah, she's just there.
It only took them... Because what, this comes out in 2017, Death Island came out, what, 2023? Only took them like 7 years. Hey,
well,
my math is right.
So I understand why that is completely. They made a whole new engine to make the movies. And like, I don't think they liked using it very much because it's not the engine that they used to make the games. But now the games, the RE engine that they have is like absolutely like astounding. Like if that thing goes from Devil May Cry to Monster Hunter to Resident Evil, like I'm honestly shocked with how much shit they can use for that. So them using it to make the movies now doesn't surprise me.
Well, the new Ghosts and Goblins game that came out, or Ghouls and Ghosts, that used the RE engine.
Holy shit, really? That's amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, I also want to say this movie looked really good. Like it still looks good in 2024. I'm like, this is just really well done, like graphically, like
when you think of Degeneration, where like Leon is mostly standing around because they can't really move him that much, like he's literally just delivering exposition standing still with his arms by his side, and now people are basically like John Wicking around, like mm-hmm. I think I watched the Matt Draper review where every bullet shot in this movie is like a punch. Like, they don't use their fists, they just use bullets, and it's the same thing. And so, like, every fight scene is, like, you know, a very long, choreographed John Wick throwdown.
So, you'll never guess what came out a year before this.
Umbrella Corps?
No, it's John Wick. John Wick came out a year before this came out. So, it's not surprising that that they do this in this movie.
I forget about John Wick, to be honest with you. I've only saw the first one in theaters. I've never seen any of the other ones. I liked it. I just never gotten around to bothering again, and I forget about that series.
I refuse to watch them until it's over, and I'm like, I think I talked to my friend, because he's like, man, John Wick 4 was really good. I'm like, does the series end? And he's like, I think so. I'm like, that's not a no, so I'm not watching it yet.
I'm pretty sure there's five.
It does, but then Lionsgate, who distributes a film, they don't have any franchises other than John Wick.
Mm-hmm.
So they're just like, we need to keep this going, even though it doesn't make sense to keep going.
Actually, that's what I thought. So maybe I'll wait till 5 and I'll watch all of them. I think I've seen like 1 and 2 and that's it.
Yeah, they look cool.
They're great. 4 is like 3 hours long, though. It's really long.
Oh, don't tell me that. I really don't want to watch it.
Hey, that's another thing. Like, this movie was just 97 minutes. It was nice and short. But it didn't feel long. Like, this movie didn't feel like I was bored or any. At no point in this movie was I bored. And that's a credit to any movie, if I can get through it and not be bored and just be like, I was entertained. Like, you know, we're talking about different plot points and things. Okay, so after he captures Rebecca, I was thinking when he ties her, when he changes her clothes, like, after he captures her, they change her clothes and put her in the dress. I'm like, I will always find that creepy when all of a sudden a woman's just changed out of her clothes and all of a sudden she's now in, like, something completely different. Like, I always find that, especially when she's just unconscious, like, I always be creepy.
It's only not creepy if they wake up in a hospital.
Yes, you are correct. But it was creepy here. I'm like, I don't like it, but at least there's no other insinuation with here. But then when he, like, after he has the whole Metal Gear Solid 2 moment that Blair was talking about, like, his solution then is like, okay, I'm just going to infect you with a virus instead. Like, I thought you're going to cut off her arm. Like, I thought when you see her, you know, strapped down to the table, I thought they're going to be preparing to cut off her arm. But no, it's just, we're just going to infect you and give you 20 minutes to live or something. I was like, okay. Like, you changed your idea really fast, buddy, because she yelled at you. He's like, you tried to punch me, so now I won't let you have my wife's arm. It was just, I don't know. I thought it was just interesting. I'm like, all right, when they do infect her and the whole, like, time limit, 20 minutes, because this is the same time when you have Chris and Leon are in New York, but there are some really good scenes, like the scene when Leon is driving down the highway and the dogs somehow serve, those dogs are superpower dogs in this version. But yeah,
that one guy also dies.
I was sad when he got his head chopped off.
Yeah, that guy gets sass eaten.
Yeah, like
what guy?
It was one of the random three guys that was in the plane with Chris. He goes to them in the van. The van starts making noise, and they're dumbasses. Like, it burst open, and they get killed by the dogs. Or he gets killed by the dogs, and then Leon drives off in the motorcycle.
Yeah. As we're recording this on a weekend, I watch it on a Monday, and things have already left my mind about what happens.
Although this movie will not last in my brain. So by the time we publish this, if we're recording this in late January 2024, and the earliest you're going to hear this, depending on what I do, is either going to be most likely April, I won't remember shit of what I said this episode or what happened in this movie. So when somebody, sometimes Richard will mess with me, like, oh yeah, you said this. And I'm like, I got no fucking memory of this. It's been months. So this will be kind of one of those moments. I remember anything that I said. So I get it. And why is it when you said Monday, the first thing that popped in my head was Blair Farrell was born on a Monday? No idea.
And that's Solomon Grundy. I'm just Canadian.
I know. For some reason, when you said I watched this on Monday, it was the way you said it. That's what popped in my head.
Watched on a Monday, forgotten by Tuesday.
Regretted by Wednesday.
You guys are dumb.
That's what makes this fun. But no, I mean, that was a little, like, I was laughing when he shoots the dogs. At one point, he destroys two cars and kills those people. When he shoots one of the dogs, I'm like, you just killed people.
It's fine.
I mean, and I do like the idea of the arms dealer where he's like, I'm going to infect New York with gas with, you know, these just gas trucks and just pump out the gas and infect everybody. Like, I thought that was cool. Like, he's going to infect the entire city. Like, he's going to make a statement.
And he does, which we will get to at the end of the movie.
Yes, I don't want to. Yeah, I got jokes for that, too. I know we both do. So. Okay, that's a cool, like, his idea was cool and it makes sense. Like, you want to get your point across, you infect a major city, and like, this is going to have consequences because, oh yeah, I thought that was good, even though New York is an island, kind of, and they can shut down the city. I mean, Dark Knight Rises shows you can do that. So I'm like, maybe you want to, you know, infect a city where people can't get away or can get away.
I mean, maybe that's the point. He wants to prove that he can infect like a major city in general, but he knows like it's small enough to where it won't get out of control. Or something.
Good point. Because New York would, I mean, at that point, pretty quickly, New York would have been shut down. All those bridges would be done, train done. You ain't leaving.
I think that the point is, too, is that they kind of want a controlled, like, release as well, because technically Leon and Chris are, like, going around blowing up trucks as well.
Yeah. And like, he does have the vaccine, too, also. So, I mean, like, he was planning on showing that he could cure people and things like that, too. So, I think that was all part of it. I mean, I didn't mind it. I thought it was a cool plot point. I liked that he's locked up in a building, you know, hiding, watching everybody get murdered. Like, I thought that was a cool concept, too.
That's even a cooler concept now that I think about it. Imagine, like, having the ability to turn an entire, like, city into, like, a bunch of zombies, and you know they can shut down the city, and then it's like, hey, I just proved to a bunch of, like, terrorists that I could, like, sell this virus. Now I'm going to ransom the city and get a bunch of money to resell them the cure so I can just spread the cure over the air.
Yeah, no, that would work, to be honest.
But why go through all that trouble when you can just build four fake cities?
I don't get that reference, and I think I'm okay with that.
Coming soon to games my mom found in, like, 2026.
You talking about Death Island, or is he talking about one of the movies?
The fifth live-action film.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. You talking about five?
Yes. Yeah.
That'll be sooner than that, because technically they'll probably be next year, to be honest with you. If I keep my current schedule, that will be next year. Damn. I do want to finish those movies. I've still never seen Final Chapter. But that's, yeah. No, I thought it was a cool concept. I like them running around the city. And man, when they finally go to that office building where he's at, that fucking hallway scene, when that's when he tells Chris, you have 20 minutes to save Rebecca. And he's like, here, I got a surprise for you. He just opens doors with all these zombies come out. That scene is so damn good, which you can find on YouTube, by the way.
Of course you can. It's like the best one, like the three best scenes in the whole movie.
It's so good. If you search on Resident Evil Vendetta Hallway, you will find the scene and you should watch that scene. So, for all the people
when I search that, will there then be a million different edits of it with random songs put into it.
I don't know, I'm watching a mute right now, but I found it. So
it's like I need one with like set to a Linkin Park song to bring me back to mid-2000s vibes.
Oh god, I loved anime music videos back then when I first found them.
I need to buy editing software so I can make really good like AMVs of like current movies. Just have a bunch.
You could probably do it with free software, to be honest with you.
But, yeah.
There's some really good free software out there. I don't mess with video editing because I can't add anything else to my life because, yeah, I know what will happen. So, but yeah, I'm pretty sure you can do it. Video editing looks hard. I want to, by the way. I really, really want to learn how to video edit because that's a good fucking skill to have. I can audio edit really well by now, I think. So, no, that hallway scene is just so damn good. I'm watching it right now and just, I mean, there's a couple parts like Chris pile drives a zombie at one point that made me just laugh my ass off too. So, it's just so well done.
This kind of proves to a point to where I'm also kind of glad, but also they're really like, you can tell that they don't think of these things later on, because this kind of also proves like, yeah, Chris and Leon both really know what they're doing because they survived maybe at least 2 or 3 zombie incidences by now.
Yeah, they survived a couple. Raccoon City and then all the other events that happen. And then like other events that aren't even in the main games, like in Umbrella Chronicles, you have events. In Umbrella Chronicles Dark Side, you have events. Like, there's so much stuff that happened in this world.
Yeah, it was like, so post Raccoon City, there's been Code Veronica, Resident Evil 4, the attack on Umbrella. There was the airport incident from the first film, the Not Russia incident in the second film, plus the Leon and Krauser mission. That's like the mission in the second Light Gun game, and Resident Evil 6, where it's the big team up game. Like, they've been around the block a few times.
I need to find, talking about video editing, I need to find the video for y'all where like this dude basically, because you see them doing all this cool tricks and part of you is like, I wish they could do this in the real games. It's like someone put up a video that's called like playing Resident Evil 4 remake like Leon Kennedy, and it's like a scene where like Leon's fighting like the Los Illuminados in the castle, and he's doing backflips, he's doing like knife blocks and like all this other cool shit, and it's like I could never do that myself in game, but it's cool that there is kind of proof that they are becoming more and more badass to this point.
I mean, they're also trained killers and they're, you know, they're in shape and they're, so I'll buy it, and they're video game characters, so you know they have that going for them too. But I also want, another thing about that fight that I thought is so good is that Chris has like this M16, I don't know if M16, but he has like an assault rifle where Leon just has a handgun. Honestly, a handgun makes more sense in close range, but it's very cool how they have that, and just the way that this scene goes. Like, there's a 5-minute scene that I'm watching right now, the clip on YouTube, and it's just so fucking good. Like, I wish I would have been able, I would have saw this in theaters. And I going, you know, my wife would not have wanted to go with me, but I would have saw the theaters for sure.
But isn't Chris Redfield, well, his gun, isn't it not a Lancer as well? Isn't there a knife at the end of it?
There's a knife at the end of it.
Yeah, there's a knife at the end of it, and also has a grenade launcher on it too.
Don't forget, this came out a year after John Wick. Do you see Leon doing the weird John Wick thing where you turn the gun to like absorb recoil? Don't forget, this movie came out after John Wick.
You see, I have no idea what you're talking about. So I've seen John Wick.
That was
so
also
long
in like Splinter Cell Conviction too.
Man, you mentioned that's a series that I really want to do on this podcast.
Same.
I mean, the more years this show goes on, the longer I will get to things that I really want to do because I'll run out of other stuff. So it'll happen.
Prince of Persia.
We did the first one. We did Sands of Time. We're actually doing Warrior Within later this year. So.
Oh crap! I missed Sands of Time. Well, I definitely want to be in Warrior Within then.
All right. On the schedule. It's not till like June or July, my plan, but yeah, it's happening. I'm trying to do that series. I wanted to do it along. I've been trying to get Warrior Within on this podcast for like a fucking couple years at this point, so it just hasn't happened yet. But yeah, I also want to watch that movie too again.
The Prince of Persia movie?
Yeah.
It's okay, but like, I don't know why they picked Jake Gyllenhaal.
Because he could sell tickets?
I guess.
I mean, that's really all it was, but yeah. Well, I want to see that movie again. I want to cover this podcast for some random reason. But I liked it when I saw it in theaters. That's not why we're here. So finally they get to Rebecca. They save Rebecca, 10 minutes to spare, but they don't have the vaccine. They just carry her around. So I thought that was good. And this is when you have the gunfight on the roof eventually where Chris does gun fu with the not Wesker.
Oh, you mean where he fights his gay thoughts?
That was hilarious when you posted that in the chat last night.
Yeah, because they very much do not shoot each other. Like, it's very much just, like, dodging and rolling around on the floor and, like, almost close calls. And it's just, when I saw that, all I could think of is Chris going, "Can't catch me, gay thoughts."
See, all I can think of, it was funny because I turned in really early last night and I woke up to all of these messages when you guys were talking about that. But all I thought about was Archer, which is the only show where they mention or they bring up the fact that if you shoot a gun next to someone's head, they're going to have ear damage. And all I can think of is just like Chris and this guy, and they're there, and Rebecca's like, "Oh, Chris, we have to save you." And all he hears is, because like he just has tinnitus from like gun punches being shot next to his head.
I mean, if this movie wanted to be accurate, yes, that's what would have happened. But this movie didn't want to be accurate. So that's fine. Hey, you got Baby Driver for that. You can watch that movie. Listen to that podcast episode we did. Because in Baby Driver, they do that where the guy shoots next to his ear at one point and you can't hear anything. God, that fucking movie's good.
Is that like the beginning or the end of the movie?
End of the movie.
Okay, that's like, because I'm not going to lie, I've never seen Baby Driver. But
you should.
Yeah.
You really should watch that movie.
Theater, and then I haven't seen it since. Didn't that guy, the main actor, do something weird?
Yes, two of the people in that movie are problematic, let's just say. So
we'll talk about it after the podcast. But
yeah, but no, there's things. And then we talk about it in the episode. But yeah, there's things for two of the actors in that film. So yeah.
I like the Chris and him fighting on like the pane glass, and you think Chris might die. Also, this guy goes out like a punk bitch too. He just kind of falls to his death. I think that's also really like.
But he doesn't die.
No, he's dead.
He's part of what. When he sees Diego, Diego puts him inside his body. And then he's controlling Diego, because when they do the railgun scene later, he goes, "Diego, or father," or something like that. It was, Diego was the other head that gets blown off. Diego was also the guy that we talked about earlier with the Iron Mask on and the big mech. Looks like a freaking golem.
Wait, really?
I believe the term you're looking for is DNA Digivolve.
Shut up, Blair.
Digivolve, digital monsters, Digimon champions. That's all I remember. Digimon
champion. I don't know how, like, into that like Digimon you were, Mike, but like
not much.
Okay, at some point I would need to get you to watch that goddamn fucking the movie that came to America.
Hey, if the show keeps progressing, you can, you know what, the more and more shit I'm willing to do. So hey,
but yeah,
so he combines with him to form a tyrant, question mark?
Yes, it's a tyrant.
But so this is like my second time watching this movie, right? And I was really stoned last night. I do not remember them fusing. Like I said, this is my second time watching it. I've never noticed that.
You don't really see it. You just, when he's after he falls, somehow he survives, but he's dying. He's bleeding out from the fall, which he should be dead instantly because his head would have cracked open and exploded. But neither here nor there because he dropped so far. But after he falls, Diego comes over and he tells him to activate something or it's time. And then he rips off the mask and then he's, all the metal you see in his back all starts to break because that's what's containing the tyrant virus, let's just say. And that's why he didn't go full tyrant. And then he takes he opens up and apparently he takes the other guy's body and puts him into him. And then when you see the tyrant on the roof, he has two faces. He has two heads, one head that's in main control and another head, which is supposed to be Diego, the smaller one that gets shot by the railgun, then he screams. And by the way, the tyrant transformation scene is on YouTube also for those that are interested.
I've never noticed that. Parts of
this movie.
Yeah, I think I was, when I watched this recently, I was halfway in, but when I saw it in theater, I was totally down to clown with it. And when the giant endgame boss showed up with a throbbing weak point, I kind of cheered a little.
I did. I thought it was hilarious. I mean, it's Resident Evil, you gotta have a tyrant something. Because when he opens up his back, he shoots like some kind of webbing, grabs the body, then I guess he puts the body inside him. But it's enough. It's just a cool scene because they think they won. And then Chris is trying to get Rebecca. They're still trying to get the vaccine. And then finally the tyrant shows up and then Leon shows up again. And Leon on the bike is really cool in this movie, too. Like just all the random reasons he's carrying that bike everywhere. He's driving an elevator. Just that bike just doesn't leave once he gets it. I'm here for that.
So I'm not going to spoil which movie it is, but Blair totally knows what I'm talking about. There's always a thing where, like, that the CGI movies will always have over the live actions, and that the whole reason a lot of us see these movies is because tyrants are cool, and whether they turn into a tyrant or a big goopy monster with a bunch of eyes, that's really what we want. But there's very specifically, and I won't spoil which one, there's a live-action Resident Evil movie where there is no goopy monster, where they just fight a guy in a suit, and it's like the most boring part of that movie, and I hate it.
I think I know what you're talking about, actually. I think it's horrible. I think it's, but I don't remember anymore.
I don't remember either. Did they fight a monster, a big monster, at the end of 4 Afterlife, Blair?
So 4?
No, 4 is the one where they... There's a fight that involves hearts being stopped. That's right. Yeah, that one's also kind of boring, but kind of cool.
4 is the one where they basically recreate the scene from Resident Evil 5, even though there's like, we'll get to it. And 5, I think there is a giant monster, but then the end battle is clone Michelle Rodriguez, ?
Yes, that's the one. That's one of the ones I'm thinking of.
And I don't remember the end of 6.
Okay. I liked 4 and 5 in theaters when I saw it. I can say that. But no, this fight with the Tyrant is also just really good, with Leon just, you know, almost flying apparently in this fight. And I really liked it. I really was like, this is just entertaining, just watching him fight this Tyrant with a fucking handgun and almost getting killed. It was just really good. I also just really like Leon too. Like, I'm going to be sad when they find, well, they'll never get rid of them, but I really like those characters a lot.
Something that did remind me of the live action films is like when he basically has the Batman grappling hook fingers. It reminded me of the last boss of the third movie, where he kind of has the stabby fingers, but because it's a practical costume, they basically look like they're super floppy and unthreatening. So it's like, that's something they can do in animation. It's just kind of deliver on that promise, as they don't have to make like a costume or a practical effect.
Just a very... Oh, everything with the fight was cool. When they do their rail... So when at one point they do a rail gun, the helicopter comes up, you saw earlier, the woman has a fucking rail gun from pretty much Resident Evil 3 Nemesis, but much more a compact version. She only takes out part of the monster. That's when he screams Diego. And she takes out like 4 or 5 buildings, it looks like. That you see that thing hit these buildings, and some of those buildings are falling. Like, she just killed thousands of people to do one shot to this monster. Because you know there's still people around. So that's what I was thinking. Like, is it really worth it? Like, you know, that's a lot of collateral damage.
I mean, I'm just glad the BSAA comes fucking prepared. Like, I'm so used to these games being like, oh, we kind of like got it on the skin of our teeth. But I think it's also cool Leon fucking shoots a fucking motorcycle into him as well.
I also thought the both people in that plane were dead, but then they both survive at the end of this movie, which made me happy too. I like them a lot. I didn't want to see them die. I would have been sad. No, it's just a good scene. I mean, it's just very entertaining. And then when they do finally beat the Tyrant, they beat him by the video game way of shooting his weak spot. That's fine, too. How does he kill him? He throws a motorcycle into him, and then I think he shoots the heart or something? Or no, he shoots a grenade into the heart. That's what it was. Chris does.
Chris refound his gun that he lost, like, I could have sworn he lost it, like, 3 floors down.
Yeah, he lost, I think he loses it in the hallway, but who knows? I mean, let's not. You're looking for logic in all the wrong places.
Yeah,
I mean, he could have picked it up. He does go downstairs to get the vaccine for Rebecca. Like, he does go somewhere else. He gets her to the roof while Leon is fighting the Tyrant. He does leave Leon and go, and so it's fair. He went and picked up his gun. I'll take it, because he's gone for a little bit.
You know what? No, he does pick up. It does make sense for him to pick up his gun, because I forgot he goes back down to grab a fucking gas thing for Rebecca.
Yeah, because he's trying to save Rebecca. Then that's finally when he's like, when he's giving her the vaccine through the gas, that's when you see the timer. That's when the alarm goes off. Then they save her. I didn't like Rebecca being a damsel in distress. I would have much rather had her, you know, she doesn't need to be a powerhouse, but just not be a damsel in distress.
Yeah, I think they realize that too, because like I said, everyone gets their moment in Death Island. I think that's probably like the best part of the whole movie.
I do want to watch Death Island a lot. Now that I know it's on Netflix, I really want to watch it. So, but I feel like these movies, I can't do them too close together. So,
I mean, I don't really care. Blair, do you care?
I mean, I'd rather skip Infinite Darkness.
Same.
Yeah, it's another thing too. If it's on Netflix now, by the time you get around to it, it might not be on Netflix.
No, it won't be on Netflix by the time I get around to it. I already know that 100%. I mean, yeah, that's the reason why I'm like, well, maybe I should do this now, not later, because it won't be there. We'll see.
Nothing happened in Infinite Darkness, I'm not going to lie to y'all. I don't think, I've never watched it, but from what I've heard, like, I don't think legitimately nothing happens. And the only funny thing from that show is a meme where Claire's still part of, like, Terra Save. And she's like, hello, little boy, how are you? And she's like, oh, I guess he doesn't speak English. And the guy goes, no, he's just deaf. And he's also in a wheelchair.
Yeah, I don't even remember. I watched it when it came out, but I don't remember it. It was a bummer because it got Claire back, and Claire hasn't been anything since Revelations 2. And she doesn't do anything at all. Like, she's barely in it. It's mostly another Leon show.
I mean, I want to see it just because it's considered canon, and because I was actually supposed to do it a long time ago, back when it first came out in 2021, I think it came out in. So, yeah.
With
I
just want to do it. The weird part is it's just a watered-down version of Degeneration, and even takes place before Degeneration, and the only reason why it kind of exists is because they're like, well, we want to make a movie using the RE engine, and then we also want to, like, kind of show off the guy who's now probably permanently going to be playing Leon from now on, because Matt Mercer said that Death Island was his last voiceover for Leon, like, forever now. Like, now the new guy that did Leon for Remake 2 and Remake 4 is, like, Nick, permanently now.
Stop. I can't pronounce his last name.
Even the Darkness takes place right after Degeneration in 2006, where Degeneration is late 2005. So
that's stupid.
And Degeneration is right after Revelations happens, so. And Infinite Darkness is right before Resident Evil 5. Okay. I mean, none of that really matters. I like doing the whole series, I guess.
These things are in canon, but because they're, you know, the offshoot films, nothing of consequence is ever going to happen. Like, you know, it's almost like when wrestling, when you have, like, Raw, and then there's, like, a house show. It's like, the championship is not going to change in a house show. It's going to change on, like, Raw or pay-per-view events. Like, you're not, like, Chris or Leon's not going to die in the next Resident Evil animated film. Like, it's, you know, just going to be another sci-fi action film, which I think these are characterized as more than horror.
This wasn't horror. I mean, the first one, I think, could be more in that level of horror, but that's it.
And I think you have to use these characters to sell the concepts people to say, like, oh, here's Chris and Leon. But I think it would be great if they use these to tell, like, smaller stories with, like, nothing characters where you don't know what's going to happen to them. Like, I always want something like the people who are working at the mansion in the first Resident Evil movie. I probably said this on, like, another show, where it's just the schmoes who are working in the Spencer estate. And it's like, oh, yeah, I gotta, you know, hey, honey, I got this job in this mansion. All I have to do is go feed these dogs, and I'm getting paid, like, a six-figure salary. And then, you know, he's just like, oh, yeah, we're going to go play cards. And then something's happening, and he realizes, like, all this stuff is happening. And then the end is where the inciting incident happens. Or even make a movie about Marvin Branagh leading up to Resident Evil 3, where he gets bitten by Brad in, like, the remake and things like that. You know, take those smaller characters and build those out.
Yeah, I'm worried Capcom, like, legitimately know what they're doing, because there's, like, a really good moment in 3, because a lot of people, we played 3, and a lot of people skipped 3 and said that was boring, but there's, like, a really good moment, which I probably said in the episode 2, where, like, Jill's legitimately terrified. She's like, we don't know if we're infected. We don't know. We could, like, turn any day now, and no one would know, and they would find us and get eaten by our, like, undead corpse. And I actually would like to see that expanded upon, and maybe we might, because we're supposed to still be getting a remake of 1 still again, but, like,
we don't need a remake of 1.
I don't know.
I mean, I'll play it. Who am I joking?
Part 2, so, like.
Yeah.
We just need a remake of Code Veronica, which I think is rumored to be happening.
It's either Code Veronica or 5.
You don't need a remake 5.
We need a remake. Need a remake of 5.
I just want Resident Evil 9. I don't care about these remakes anymore.
Oh, we should talk about the ending of this movie.
Yeah.
Haven't done that yet. So after they kill the tyrant and all that shit happens, they end up releasing the vaccine gas into the city, and you see people that changed earlier go back to being human. Man. And all I can think about is, this is fucking terrible.
Man, I sure hope nothing bad happened while I was turned to a zombie. Oh, I ate my boyfriend.
Yeah. It's like, why am I so full? Like, oh, right, I ate a guy.
Or what happened to the people? Because, like, give an example, at the beginning of the movie, we kind of glossed over it. There's a dude whose, like, bottom half is missing. What happened to, like, a dude that was, like, got eaten and he's, like, walking around on his hands? Is he going to just be unturned and die?
Yeah, pretty much. You would just be, hey, I'm human. Oh, God, I'm missing gut. Like, this would be terrible. I'm like, this is terrible to release this vaccine. Awful. And people are going to have, yeah, I was like, whoa. I mean, like, to go along with Joe's joke, and yes, I had the same comment. You see a guy eat his girlfriend or wife, whatever, at one point. Like, he wakes up and he might be like, whatever happened to my wife? Oh, yeah, my blood is on her hand. You know, her blood is on my hands. And I can taste her inside. She was tasty. Like, I mean, you ate people. Like, you really want to wake up from that? I'd rather be like, no, I don't. Can you live with that knowing what you did? Like, you're out of control, but still, like, you did it. No.
Or even worse, someone who, like, got turned and was like, oh, I ate my baby.
Yeah, it's like, oh, like, no, like, you don't think you want to come back from this. You'd rather just stay turned. It's a very fucked up scene. I mean, it's cool that they can, you know, people that are infected can then get turned back. But I think at that point, you might as well put a bullet in their head. So, you know, this is a much vicious, you know, much worse virus than just like a cold or something. Like, I think you want to be turned back. But it's a cool concept. I mean, other than me making jokes about it, I liked it. I love a small scene, which apparently does make sense in the sequel, to that the other girl survived the fake Jill and she sees the dead body of her father.
How did they imply she died? Did she get shot or something?
She's my one of the tankers. You see her laying down. I thought she was dead, and then it turns out she's not.
Weird. Okay. And surprisingly, I think I have Marvel brain rot, Mike, because I literally was like, I guess I'll fast forward through the ending to make sure I don't miss anything, and there's like nothing there.
No, I didn't bother. I was like, I mean, yeah, it's really just Marvel that does that.
But like after what, like 3 Marvel movies, everyone does it now. Like
it's getting less now, though.
I forgot what movie I watched recently, but like something I watched recently, how I was like, let me go through the credits to make sure there's nothing in the endings. And sure enough, there was something there. And I'm like, God damn it. Can I just have a normal movie?
Not when it made so much money.
Yeah, I can't think of what it was, though. Oh, well.
I can't believe Infinite Darkness came out in 2021. I still have yet to see it.
I was going to watch it and then like think I had to work for a whole week. And I was like, I'll just wait to watch it until I get done with work. And like that whole week, people were like, man, this show sucks. And so I'm like, yeah, I guess I'm not going to watch it.
I wanted to cover it a long time ago because Elena wanted me to. And then when I asked her, I brought it up a year. So like, yeah, I'm good. I'm like, all right.
Well, if you want to watch it, I need a reason to watch it. So
I do. I don't know. Oh, we should make fun of like, so we think these are cursed because when we did Damnation, or was it Damnation? I had pink eye. I think Joe, were you sick during that recording too?
I think I was sick something was wrong with me, I think.
And then this recording, I got a really bad cold, and I think you were having issues too.
This recording?
Yeah.
Oh, I woke up with the runs. I had real Mexican food last night, and I'm like, I'm not going to go heavy. I'm just going to have something basic, and that way I don't wake up with a huge stomach ache. And then I woke up this morning, and I'm like, I'm dying.
So hey, twice is a coincidence. If we record a third and fourth, when we do Infinite Darkness and Death Island, if we both get sick again, then we know it has a connection. So yeah, that was just one of our funny things that we've been thinking about talking about off chat.
Yeah, but did you like the joke of me being like, welcome to Death Island, where I have a hemorrhoid and Mike is in a full body cast. His wife put the microphone next to his mouth so he could talk.
I mean, I would do that. Okay, that's not my kid.
Next time,
one of the old jokes in this podcast from a guy that I haven't talked to much, unfortunately, in a while. Sam Mercer. He made it back a long time ago. He's like, Mike would be podcasting in the apocalypse, like, and he's not wrong. I mean, at this point, like, yeah, I would be. So if I was in a body cast, I would record if I could, no question. The show must go on.
Me waiting for Mike's current podcast by Carrier Pigeon that drops off a USB that has the new recording on it.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? I might be. I'd be in the top 10 for sure at that point. You know, there probably wouldn't be anybody else doing it. So. All right, I think that's anything else you guys want to say about this movie, or have we covered enough?
Yeah, I think we've gone on enough.
Enough rants and tangents. All right, let's go to Shelf Stacker Box. I'll go first, since I'm probably the most positive. I'm actually going to put this on the shelf. I actually really enjoyed this film, and had I bought it on Amazon or something, I would have actually watched it again while we were talking, but I couldn't because it's on Blu-ray. I mean, I like this movie. I could see myself going back someday randomly and just putting it on just to watch it while I edit or something, like, or this was on Netflix. I put it on, like, enjoyed it. It was a good film. It's the best of the series that I've watched so far. Like, Vendetta was number one, then Degeneration, then just anything, and then Damnation, because Damnation was garbage. But it's a good movie. We'll see how I feel when I watch the other two things that are left. So, and what about you, Joe?
I would put this on the shelf. Like I said, one of the main things that I like about this movie is it incorporates the really goofy quirkiness that all the movies really should do. At Death Island, like I said, it doesn't really hold a candle to this one, but it still kind of makes a point. But like, I love all the, even though, like I said, it came out a year after John Wick, and you can very much tell that's it, that makes a movie too. I love seeing them like actually whooping ass and, you know, actually fighting zombies, as opposed to them just kind of like the whole movie being about plot and moaning and complaining about stuff and then nothing happening the whole movie. And yeah, so I love this movie. So it's pretty much going on the shelf.
And Mr. Blair,
I'll put in this stack. I don't hate it. Of the animated films, it's the most entertaining, and the one, if I ever needed to watch one again, I would probably put on over the other ones, but it's not something that I can ever see myself watching again. Like, it's not something I would put on just for fun. Like, it was nice to talk about it for this show, but I think I'm good for a while. Like, it's so inconsequential to the whole franchise, especially considering where it takes place and what happens after, that I think I'm good for another couple of years.
Okay. Yeah, no, I mean, it'll be a while before I ever go back to this. But it's just, I didn't hate it. So, hey, that was impressive. All right, I think that's everything we need to say. And Blair, where can we find you at?
Find me on various social media platforms, at Blaircade. You can also visit my website, comicbookvideogames.com. I haven't really been active that much in the new year, still trying to struggle to find time. This will be out in April, so you'll probably be able to read a review of Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League, or, you know, whenever the episode drops, that will be the most
March or thing. April. I have ideas that I might do, because I'm going to have way too much fucking content if I don't, so we'll see.
And I guess go to the Comic Book Video Games Facebook page as well, and you'll see when I post stuff there also.
All right, and if you enjoyed this episode, there are over 600 episodes of this podcast. You can find everything that we do on Podbean. Apparently, the whole show is on Spotify, too, and I've been going through it, and they actually have the whole show. I was really surprised that because before it didn't hold the whole show, but now it has all my episodes. So I'm like, all right, I guess people click on enough to make them want to do that. So you can listen to everything we do. We do video games, movies, comics, whatever the hell people convince me to, or I convince people to talk about. So go through our giant catalog. You can search everything right on Podbean, nice and easy. Type in Metroid, type in Resident Evil. You will hear all our content. Plus, in the show notes will be every Resident Evil episode we've done before this in the show notes, just to give you a quick link to direct to those episodes. So if you want to listen to that, get more Resident Evil. We've done lots of it. You want to support the show, we do a Patreon. Little dog, you vote in our Patreon poll. You will see a link in the show notes to all the stuff to that. Please join us. I mean, I appreciate anyone to support the show. We Discord. Please join our Discord. We need more people to chat with. So you will see a link in the show notes for that, too. We haven't getting more people to join, so people will listen to me talk about it for episodes and episodes. But I'm always happy to have more. So join our Discord. And when you're shopping my awesome intro and outro courtesy, Elena at Hell Hasfree. You can follow her on TikTok and Twitch and Instagram. You'll see a link to her link tree. Definitely go check her out. Great person. And when you're shout out to Bill Tucker, his own podcast, Gamer Looks at 40, started like 3 years ago at this point, I think he's getting to. So definitely go check him out. He's on the show all the time. And give a shout out to No Message Fantasy, near a podcast that I work with. And please follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Threads, Blue Sky. I feel like I'm forgetting something. TikTok. I am making videos once in a while. And YouTube, audio only, but we are on all those things. You can catch us there. And I think that's everything I need to say. So we will see you guys next time. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.